Turn to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. As I was sitting there listening to David sing and thinking that shortly I'm going to stand here and preach, tell of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought of that scripture, and I felt and I feel the power of that scripture. Who is sufficient for these things? I'm just a clay pot. But God has put this treasure, this gospel treasure, in earthen vessels. Clay pots like me and David and Paul and other men. And he has sent us out to preach. And I'm trying. I'm not even going to scratch the surface, let me tell you. I'm way over my head. I'm way over my head this morning. But I'm going to try to scratch the surface of the glory of our King. I want us to think this morning of our King. Now, you and I have grown up in a democracy, and we really don't know what it is or what it was to grow up under a king, a sovereign. And this morning, I want us to have our minds and our hearts set up on the King of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We are under a theocracy. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's never given it up. God has never turned this world over to men or Satan. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. That gives me comfort. I probably quote that verse more now than as much as any verse that I quote, because it gives me great comfort to know that this world, this earth, everything on it, everyone in it belongs to my King. They are under the authority of my King. They can't even move. A dog can't even bark. A dog can't even move his tongue against you, except he gets the permission from my King and your King. So I want to look at Psalm 45. The writer of the psalm here, he says, "My heart is inditing a good matter." Now if you look at the beginning of this psalm, look here, it says, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, which means lilies. Lilies. Who's that? That's Christ, the lily of the valley. "For the sons of Korah, Maskell, a song of loves." This is a love song to the King of glory. And he says here, "My heart is bubbling. It is boiling over with a good matter." A good matter. You know, the best preaching is heart preaching. When someone can preach from their heart to my heart, God has spoke to their heart and He's speaking to my heart. That's the best preaching. And that's what we have here. He said, "My heart is bubbling over. It is boiling over with a good matter." You know, worship starts, the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, it starts in the heart. It is a heart matter. It is the heart being taken up and obsessed with Jesus Christ. My heart is obsessed with Jesus Christ. It's not just impressed, and it is impressed, but it's obsessed. You know, to me, that's what worship is. Worship is to be totally obsessed with that object. And we are obsessed with the Lord Jesus Christ. If the heart is filled with thoughts of Christ, then it's a good matter. And if the heart is filled with thoughts of Christ, then for the first time, it's being used right. It's being used what God made it for. To worship Him. To give unto Him the glory due unto His name. And I pray God will enable me and David to do that this morning. That we will give unto our King the glory that's due unto His name. And listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And he says, my tongue. And I pray to God this morning that my tongue is a pen of a ready, and that means skilled. Now, if you're skilled at something, it's something you have studied. It's something that you are very well acquainted with. And he says, my tongue is the pen of a skilled writer. And here's my subject. My heart is indicting a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And it's things touching the King. My heart is set upon the King. Christ is the subject of our preaching. He's the subject of our teaching. He's the subject of our hearts. Is He not? Christ is. We have a King. Listen, we have a God King. We have a God. God is King. God is, David said, God is King over the whole earth. He's never relinquished that. He's a King. And here's His person. He describes the person of the King. Thou art fairer, and He's speaking here, I think, of His moral beauty. He knew no sin. We have a King. We have a King who knew no sin. Never has known sin. Never had a thought of sin. A deed of sin. This is His moral beauty. Thou art fairer than the children of men. There has never been anyone among the sons of Adam compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's never been anyone among the mighty men of God compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chiefest among 10,000. When He steps forth, everyone else pales in comparison to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can only imagine what it's going to be like when we see our King face to face. When we see Him walk in, I don't have words for that. I'm at a loss. I'm at a total loss for words. For beauty, there are none to be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. For meekness and lowliness of heart, there's none compared to Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor. There's never been a king on this earth that has ever sent out that kind of a message. He says, all you that labor and heavy laden, you come to me. You can walk right in to the throne of this King and be heard. You can't do that with any other king. There's too many guards. There's too many blocks to keep you out of there. But the King of Glory says, come on in. To the chief of sinners, to those who are laboring heavy laden, He says, come. Come. Oh, and He's meek. He's meek. He's approachable. This King, our King, is approachable by wretches like you and me. Harlots felt comfortable in His presence. Publicans felt comfortable in His presence. And He felt comfortable in their presence. For strength and glory, there's none to be compared to our King. And listen, when our King speaks, grace pours from His lips. Never man spake like this man. Never man. Grace pours from His lips. You know, the Scripture says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the embodiment of grace and truth. When you see Him, you see grace and truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When you look at Jesus Christ, you see life. Life has a name. You know that? Life has a name. Jesus Christ. John says in over 1 John, we have handled Him. We have handled life. We have touched life. We have heard life. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He is our... Life is my King. God is my King. Life is my King. Righteousness is my King. The Lord, our righteousness. He's my King. My, what a King. And when He speaks, grace pours from His lips. He who is full of grace and truth speaks the truth. And He speaks grace to sinners. To sinners. That's what upset those Pharisees so much. This man receiveth sinners. And can you believe He eats with them? I hope He eats with us this morning. I hope to God, I pray to God that He will sit down and eat with us this morning. Enable us to feast on the bread of life. Now, because of who He is, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's the only one. He's the only one that ever pleased God. That God, listen, He's the only one that God has ever been impressed with. This is my beloved Son. God is well pleased with His work of redemption. God is well pleased with His righteousness. And because of this, He has blessed Him forever. And listen, and whatever He has blessed Him forever with and in, He's blessed us also. Whatever He has, I have. Whatever is His, is ours. All things are yours in Christ. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. As a warrior, go forth with thy sword. That's right, as a warrior. Go forth and conquer. Not this weak little Jesus. No, gird thy sword upon thy side, upon thy thigh, O thou most mighty. His sword, do you know what His sword is? It's His Word. His Word. I pray that God would take His Word this morning and ride prosperously and conquer us. Not just conquer some sinner out there, but us. I want the Lord to conquer me every day. I need to be conquered every day. Because there's a part of me that still rises up in rebellion. That old man was still like, he'd like for me to uncrucify him and bring him down and entertain him. No, Lord, conquer me. Conquer me daily. His sword is His Word. His weapon is His Word. And His field of battle is the heart. That's His field of battle. He's not out here just fighting flesh. It's the heart. It's a spiritual warfare. He can either, now listen, He can either conquer us or kill us. He can either bring us to His feet or lay us in the grave, whichever He will. Because our King is sovereign. He's sovereign because look at the next verse. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. In thy majesty. That word majesty there also means this. In thy sovereignty. In thy sovereignty ride victoriously. There's nothing that Satan hates, his false religion hates, and his world hates more than the sovereignty of God. God being God. That's all. That's what sovereignty is. It's God being God. And you and I who believe God, who believe the gospel, we desire God's sovereignty. We desire for God to ride in His sovereign. Aren't you glad He's sovereign? If God were not sovereign, we would really be in a mess. You think we're in a mess? We'd really be in a mess if God were not sovereign. Our God is sovereign. Our King is sovereign. And our Lord is a great King, and we desire to see Him exalted over all. That's the desire of my heart. Thy kingdom come. I pray. And I understand more now as I get older. As I grow older in the Lord. I pray thy kingdom come. It's not the kingdom of men I'm concerned about. It's the kingdom of God. That's the only kingdom that's going to last. And that's the only kingdom that is righteous. That's a righteous kingdom. Is the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Ride upon the chariot of truth and meekness and righteousness. This is the battle He's engaged in. This is the battle He's engaged in. Truth and righteousness. And these are the things we want to see prosper. I wish this was the things men were talking about. Truth and righteousness. Those are the things we are interested in. Tell me the truth. I don't care how much it hurts. Tell me the truth. There's none good that includes you. That hurts my feelings. Well, I hope it does. You know, dead people don't feel anything. Dead people don't feel anything. Maybe if it hurts your feelings, something's going on. Tell me the truth. No matter how much it hurts, tell me the truth. And he says here, verse 5, thine arrows. Thine arrows of truth are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. When the King of Glory takes aim at a man, he never misses. He never misses. And if he's going to save that man or that woman, they're going to be saved. And the truth is going to penetrate the heart. And you're going to experience what repentance really is. The pain of repentance. Or if he's going to kill you, you're going to experience that too. Depart from me. I never knew you. You know how painful that is. How sharp an arrow that is when he speaks and says, I never knew. Well, we preached in your name. We've done many mighty works in your name. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Whew, that's a sharp arrow. But here's a verse, now listen, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. It's a righteous scepter. How precious is this verse in our day? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The reach of our King is not from sea to shining sea. It's from eternity to eternity. It reaches over time. It reaches over space. It reaches over all people. He has no boundaries. All the kings of this earth, they had their little boundaries that they stayed within. They called themselves sovereigns. Well, step outside that boundary and see if you're sovereign. No, you're a sovereign in a little area. And you're just a little inkling of a sovereign. But the sovereign of heaven and earth, he reaches from eternity to eternity. He declares those things which be not as though they were. You know, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're praying about, whatever you're troubled about, that matter's already settled. It's already determined. The outcome's already done. There's not a thing on this earth, there's not a thing that'll ever happen that's not already done. It's settled. And it's not going to change. God doesn't change.
I am the Lord, I change not. His purpose changes not. His covenant changes not. His love changes not. Our King is unchangeable. When everything else is changing, He doesn't change. What an anchor. What an anchor for the soul. He changes not. Now there's something to hold on to. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And we know this verse is applied to our Lord in Hebrews 1:8. It cannot be applied to anyone else but Jesus Christ. He's God manifest in the flesh. And His reign is in righteousness. Oh, you know, when I was young growing up, righteousness is the last thing on this earth that I thought of. Actually, righteousness cramped my style. That's the last thing I wanted was righteousness. And now it's all I want. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I never thought that could happen. That I could actually hunger and thirst after righteousness. I know what I hungered and thirsted after. And it had nothing to do with righteousness. It had nothing to do with God or Jesus Christ or anything. No. But now, look what the Lord has done. When you look in the mirror, you should stand astounded. Look what the Lord has done. He's given me a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, to be right with God. I don't care if I'm right with anybody else. I don't care if anybody else likes me. And I don't like to use the word I don't care. I don't like using that word because that's really, you know, that's, I just don't like using that word, I don't care. But I don't care if you like me or not. I do care if God likes me. I hope you do, and I like you and you like me. But there's one that I hope and I pray likes me, loves me so much that He actually died for me and put away my sins. And the blood that He shed for my sins, when I ask for forgiveness, listen to this. This has given me great comfort. This thought has given me great comfort. The sins I ask forgiveness for, His blood answers for them. And God can say, son, you're forgiven. Because there's the blood that answers for my sins and I'm asking forgiveness for. The law is set. Now, I know people don't think much of God's law, but He sure does. He sure does. And you and I better get in line and love what He loves. Because He says here in verse 7, thou lovest righteousness and you hate wickedness. This has to do with His character. You know what we love is what we are. What we love is what we are. What my heart is after, that's who I am. And listen, as much as He loves the one, He hates the other. He hateth all workers of iniquity. God does not love everyone. At least I know of one He didn't love, Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But let me tell you this, Esau hated God too. That's the part we don't hear. We hear that Esau have I hated, that's right. But Esau hated God. He hated Him. He sold the birthright. It meant nothing to Him. But our Lord loves righteousness. Our King loves righteousness. And He couldn't love me unless He makes me righteous. Unless He makes me unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Because of who He is and what He's done, He's been anointed with the oil of gladness above His fellow. Our Lord was not a sad, morose person. You know, He would go out and have communion and prayer with God all night long. You tell me how you can be sad and spend all night with God in prayer and in communion. That's not possible. our Lord rejoiced. He tells us to rejoice, doesn't he? Well, he doesn't tell us to do something. He doesn't. He says rejoice, and he was glad. He's glad to die for us. Jesus Christ was really glad to die for us. He didn't say, well, I'll do it. You know, like we do when mom and dad tells us to do something. We say, well, if I don't do it, I'm going to get in trouble. We just, you know, the wife wants you to do something. It was honey-do list. No, he was glad. He was glad to step forth. He's glad to be the surety. He's glad to be the lamb. He's glad. He was glad, joyful to die for me. If you love someone, I mean you really love someone, you'd be glad to take their place. You'd be glad to do it. And he was. And he is. And all thy garments, let me read it like this, and all thy offices smell of myrrh, aloes, and cassia. Men stink up the office. If you leave them in there very long, they stink it up. Air freshener was made for men. They stink up the office. But all our Lord's offices, prophet, priest, and king, he makes them smell good. They smell good. His fragrance is sweet to the Father, sweet. They're sweet to the sinner, saved by His grace. Everything about Jesus Christ smells good. It smells good. I'm not going to be able to get through this song. And out of the ivory palaces whereby they've made thee glad. You know, one time our Lord said, the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. He became poor that we through His poverty might be made rich. His dwelling below was poor, but now, paradise at the throne. And by the verses 9 through 11, he says here, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. He's speaking here in those verses. He tells us that we shall share in His glory, just to make this short. He tells us we will share in His glory. And what an honor to be the wife of such a king. To be the wife of such a king. A righteous king, an honorable king. And hearken, O daughter, and consider, incline thine ear, and listen, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. You know, when the Lord speaks, we are to listen intently. We are to grab at every word. We should be up on the edge of our seats when the word of God is being read. God is speaking. God is speaking. And he tells us here something to forget. Forget thine own people in thy father's house. When two become one, you're not running back home to mom and daddy. You forget your father's house. It doesn't mean you don't remember them as your parents. Here's what he's saying. He that loves father, mother, sister, brother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, our Lord's not jealous of us loving each other as much as we love Him, but not more. Oh, He wants that. Our Lord desires us to love one another as we love Him. Just not more. Just not more. Now, forget your father's house. Our Lord has no rivals. He will not have our hearts and our affections divided. Remember Lot's wife. Don't ever forget her. When she looked back, her heart. She didn't just look back, you know, see the smoke. Her heart looked back. Her heart was aching to go back to that place. And notice here, and I'm going to close. This is in verse 11, So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. You know, in Isaiah 54:5 it says, thy maker is thy husband. He created his own bride. That's what's going on right now. You know that? What's going on right now is that he's creating his own bride. She's being put together. And when that last member of the body is put together, this will be over. This will be over. The best marriages are those who wholeheartedly love each other. The best marriages where the husband, he loves his wife. And listen, his wife admires him. When you lose that admiration, you got trouble. If we ever lose our admiration of our king, we got trouble. The church recognizes her husband as her Lord. And let me say this. Christ never ceases to be our Lord in all our relationships. He's our Lord. First. He's our Lord, what's it say? And Savior. He's a just God and a Savior. In that order. In that order. And it says, worship Him. Worship thou Him. Hebrews 1:6, let all the angels of God worship Him. That's what we're here for, isn't it? We're here to worship Him. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close because I've got four more pages of notes. And one more speaker. And I want to hear David. I want to hear David. We have a king. I don't care what's going on out there. I pray about it. There's that word again, I don't care. Even though I don't like to use it, I do. I use it a lot more than I want to. But we have a king. We have a real living king. And he's the king of glory. And he's our king. And he's the God king. Whose throne is forever and ever and ever. Amen.